But not a revolution that we were expecting. And so today we're going to talk about Christianity in modern America. So if you'll click. So I put this on my Facebook. Actually, my Facebook was way more wordy. But anyway, I want you gut reaction, 2 to 3 words. Not like, oh, it's this and that, and da-da-da-da. How would you summarize Christianity in modern America? And if some of you have already answered this on my Facebook status, but I'm going to ask you to answer again. But 2 to 3 words, that's all I want. So we'll start. Do you want to start us? Because I was going to go in a circle, but...
I can start.
Go.
Two worlds.
Two worlds, okay? Mm.
Divided, walled off.
I'm going to stick with in power.
Yep.
Questionable.
What was that?
Questionable.
Power. They use it as
mm-hmm.
a weapon.
Yeah. And if you're online, feel free to type it in the chat or unmute. Hannah, what about you?
Yesterday I said murky and dominating.
Anything from anyone in the chat?
Jana says white nationalism and also white Jesus.
White Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, go ahead and click for me. So this is what people said on my Facebook status. There are a lot of words, so I want to take... just take a moment to look at this, because this is anybody, I invited anyone to respond. Most people who did were Christians, I will say that. And there is a little bit of good, I will say that, you know, and then there's some more not good. But go ahead and take a minute and just look at these words and what stands out to you.
There's
forgiving, hopeful, and just Jesus.
I disagree with that one so much.
Yeah, I know.
Forgiving or just Jesus?
Just Jesus. Well, I'm also forgiving, but that's the
same. Well, the forgiving part, I can see that sometimes
power.
Being a bad thing. Of like,
oh, what did you say?
Kelly said power.
I think
power?
Yeah, I say it collectively forgiving.
That's why I said two worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like power worshiping. I don't remember who said that. People always, it's always interesting when you post something like, and you see like these people you haven't talked to in forever come out of the woodworks, you know? So I got a lot of that. What I found was interesting, there's one word on here 3 times. Does anyone see it?
Divided.
Yeah.
Divided
yeah.
And diverse.
Yeah, divide. Yeah, and then I love, one of my friends was like, diverse is the nice way to put it.
Yeah.
But it just, that really hit me. And this sermon, I have sort of planned this in the back of my mind this week, is that, you know, like, that's my planning process. There's a lot of, like, background noise, like, as I'm praying and different things and I think about it. I don't know how else to kind of do this. And, like, I was like, we're going to talk about the woes to the Pharisees and what the modern church in America is doing, and it's going to be great. And then at 10:40, kid you not, 10:40, it might have been 10:41 last night, God was like, no, look at what people said. You need to talk about something else. And I was like, it is 10:40 on Saturday night, Jesus. So here we are. But we're really going to, because, go ahead and click for me. There's one that really hit me. Large on scripture, short on following Christ.
Yeah.
This is the one that hit me out of everybody, and no, it's not 2 to 3 words, but no one got it. But like, I also have this lovely basket, the video stopped, I thought it would loop, but it didn't. But it's like, they get so close to the basket, it's one of those shots, like, and then it bounces right off. And that's what I feel like we're dealing with a lot of, right? Because we love scripture more than Christ. And that's idolatry. Really, I think this is so true, and that's why we're so divided. Because we focus on scripture and our interpretations, and we're not focusing on Christ. That way it was like, love God and love your neighbor. That's what God, and then everyone's like, but we gotta, you know, debate these other things. And God's like, I said, love people. And so go and click. What I found very interesting was not a single person said loving. Which is not surprising. I'm not like saying this surprised me. However, click. Can I volunteer read this?
Okay. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Yeah. Like, the church is supposed to, the world is supposed to recognize us by our love. But, like, we are not very loving, according to... And these are Christians saying this. It's like, I don't know that I had any non-Christians respond. I was hoping to get some, but I also know that some of them are like, whatever. Like, but, like...
They don't have as much
dinner.
Yeah, they
the
don't.
Christians I know who are vocal about it have the same opinions that were up in the...
Yeah, exactly. And it's... But it is really striking because it's like, we're supposed to be known by one thing. And what we're known as divided. And... I love, you know, the nice way of saying, you know, dominating, power worshiping. And I would argue that it's the same thing that was like when Jesus came, right? Like, that's what the Jews wanted, right? They wanted a Davidic savior. They wanted a king, a warrior king. They were like, bring us a king and let's overthrow Rome. And that was their big thing. Like, that's what they wanted. And I would argue that today, most modern American Christians, for the most part, want a king. And they want him to overthrow everything they say is bad and anyone they don't like. Mm-hmm. And so, as I was really like praying over this and struggling through this, I was like, we really need to get back to the basics. We need to talk about love. Like, and I know we talk about love a lot in this church, but like, we're really going to dig into 1 Corinthians 13 today, which I know is like a passage everybody knows, but I really, really want to hit it like hard. So we're going to really get in here. So go ahead and click for me. All right. So Anna, will you read this slide? Lee, the next slide. Hannah, the next one until we finish. I don't know how many there are. There might only actually be two. Go ahead.
And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Lee.
Oh, sorry. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is a knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part that I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Beautiful. All right. So we're going to start really digging into this. We're going to start with the first three verses. So the very first verse here, if I speak in the tongue of men's... Oh, sorry. I'm going to back up one second. So 1 Corinthians 12 is all about spiritual gifts. Here are all the spiritual gifts. And then Paul says the very end of 1 Corinthians 12 is, and I will show you the most excellent way. So this is how you're supposed to use your spiritual gifts. Because if you're using your spiritual gifts without love, you're basically useless. Or harmful. All right, so go ahead. So if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And so there were four of us that got to see this really, really up close and personal on...
Monday.
Yeah, it's like whatever day that was. Monday, we went to... There was a... a trans party at the library, and then people at the Glen Burnie Library, and then people did not like that, so they came out to protest it, and then so then there was a counter protest of more of like protection and all of this, and it was really interesting because if you ever really have been in a place where you heard somebody speaking like a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal, like they had a megaphone and they were shouting, and like I couldn't understand half of what they said. I know at some point they said, leave our kids alone, and shame on you. But, like, And it was so telling, too, because there was this girl on roller skates that when they would get on the ball thing, she would just bang the, you know, the
cowbell.
Cowbell. So it was really a clinging symbol.
She just skated up and down.
Yeah, and, like, everyone was just, like, shouting and all of this. And these are people who were out there. Like, they had signs. Jesus said male and female or what have you. And,
By the way, that verse was about divorce.
I know. Oh, I very much am aware of what, like, that verse that they go. But, like, and then they had random signs that didn't have anything to do with Christianity or anything, like grooming equals abuse. And I was like, you have no idea what it means to be trans, do you? And then there was a group of us there. And, yes, we were basically a resounding claim. But, like, the goal, the purpose, though, was so that the other people could enjoy their party in peace. Like, so they didn't have people attacking them, right? Like, or yelling at them. And they didn't have to hear that. And so there's a protection there. But the people out there, right, are thinking that they're speaking God's truth. But they're not doing love, right? I'm going to tell you right now, you don't show God's love with a bullhorn, like with a megaphone. That's not how God, like, that's just not how you do it. That's not what he called us to do. But I will tell you, there was one person there who I am going to make the assumption was trans because their shirt said trans menace. And they were the only person, they literally crossed the side and they were talking to the people who were protesting the trans rally. Very calmly, very, and I was like watching them and I was like, and you know, just listening and conversating. And I was just like, I think you're the only person showing love here. Like real, true love. And I was like, man, I want to know your story. You're the one that I'm most interested in all of this, right?
I really wanted to do that, but I was afraid it was going to end up in a fist fight if I did.
Right. Yeah.
I wasn't going to throw a punch, but I wasn't sure I wasn't going to get punched.
Yeah, and there's lots of things I could say about this. One of my biggest pet peeves, like, because I am often a resounding gong or clanging cymbal, because, like, I am not afraid to yell at people. Like, I'm a work in progress. Like, there was a rainbow behind us as we were, like, doing this. And, like, everyone was like, God has spoken, right? And da-da-da-da-da. And there's a rainbow, and it's all good. And then, like, some guy was like, you think this, you know, the rainbow is this, but it's a warning. And I was just so mad. Because I was like, the rainbow is a promise. Stop polluting the rainbow. Like, why? Like, and then there's, like, the same people who will yell at you because, you know, oh, they stole our rainbow. And I'm like, what are you doing? The rainbow is not a warning. The rainbow is a promise that God's not going to destroy the earth again through flood. But, like, I was like, how dare you? Like, miss the point entirely of that story. But again, so lots of clinging sounds, resounding gong. There was not a lot of love then. There was protection, and there was a lot of anger. I will tell you that. Like, on both sides, right? And I'm not saying, like, I showed up for the counter-protest. I was happy to do it because, like, I think it's important that people are protected. Like, that's something important to me. All right. And then we have the next one. So that's my example of that. The next one we have is, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. I used to kind of want to be this person, like, who knew all the answers. Like, I was a know-it-all as a kid. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. Yeah, I know, right? Like, shocker! Like, I really just wanted to have all the answers. And, like, there's this verse I learned in middle school or high school. It's in Ecclesiastes, which, like, is a very special, but it was, like, to increase knowledge is to increase sorrow. And I understand that now, because the more you know about how broken the world is, the more sorrowful you'll feel. But when my friend told me that, I was so angry. And they're like, are you disagreeing with the Bible? And I was like, yeah, I don't know, but no. Like, I was so upset, because, like, I just wanted to know everything. And I still, like, I mean, I don't feel this huge need, but, like, I am still in this, like, as a person. Like, if I don't know everything about a topic, I assume I know nothing about it. Like, I don't really have a middle ground. Like, I either know exactly all of the ins and outs, or I'm like, I don't really know much about that. I'm not going to talk about it. which has its good and bads. But this also reminds me of, if you've seen The Polar Express, which is one of my favorite Christmas movies, there's this little boy on there, and he is a know-it-all. Like, he's like, very first thing he says to our main character is, do you know what kind of train this is? And then there's this little girl who I love. Her name is just Hero Girl. And really, she should be the star of the whole movie. She's my favorite. And she goes, of course, it's a magic train. And then he responds, and he goes, well, yeah, it's a magic train, but it's a blah, blah, 1836, this, blah, blah, blah. And he spends the whole movie showing off how much he knows. Like, there is not an ounce of love in this boy, right? Like, and he's like, goes off, and he's like trying to find what his Christmas presents are going to be, and he's like, but all I found was a bunch of stupid underwear. And like, meanwhile, the rest of them got in this because they're trying to make Billy feel loved, right? But he is so caught up in, I need to know things. I need to be sure, right? I need to be right, that he doesn't know how to love. He's only focused on him. Because when you're sitting there wanting to be right and wanting to, like, make sure you have all your facts, you're responding from, I can tell you from personal experience, like, I'm responding from a place of fear. Of, they'll know more than me, so I shouldn't get involved. Or, you know, I'll look foolish, instead of a place of love. And that's very much what we have there. And then lastly, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Okay, this last illustration is probably my worst. I was struggling. I'm just going to say that. But I was thinking of examples of people who give everything they have to the poor to boast. And I was like, I don't really know, like, because I don't know people's hearts. I can't say that. Because, like, Mother Teresa gave away everything. But I would argue she did that out of love. Right? Because the work she did. Like, I don't think you could have done what Mother Teresa did in the streets of Calcutta without love. So my not great example I'm taking from
God. I would argue that she was used as propaganda for the church.
I don't know enough to talk. I do not know enough. I'm just going to say that right now. To either combat or agree or disagree, but we can talk later because I'm curious.
We gotta have coffee.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that because that's not here. Anyway, so the only thing I could think of was Knives Out with Harlan. He's a like multi-billionaire, and his whole family's been living off him his whole life.
Ooh,
and then
Mr. Beast.
Yeah, that's who I thought of.
Oh, Mr. Beast. That's a way better example. Mr. Beast is a way better. Oh, I like that better. Thank you.
Except for, like,
I don't know where does this man get all his money? All he does, really, he just is constantly giving away money.
Yeah,
so and like he does it because he likes being popular, like, and not only, but like that's how he also gets
his holding power over people. That's
how he gets his money,
yes, too. and then, yes, Luke, you wanted to?
So, I have an example, and this isn't exactly material wealth, but I have a friend I really haven't talked to him in a while, but he got divorced from a first wife after she cheated on him, whatever. And then he, you know, basically married somebody else. And his family basically disowned him. And, you know, they basically were using scripture and that type of thing. But basically and, you know, I've only heard it from his perspective. But the impression I got, like, he mentioned that, you know, his family was heartbroken. But they were basically, like, disowning him because of his sin, they have disowned him. And, you know, in theory, doing it to be pure, religious, whatever, but giving up those relationships and breaking your own heart in the name of Jesus, Christianity, whatever, but not love.
Yeah, so we can give up our family relationships.
Somebody grew up with him and his sister got disowned by their families for marrying someone that their parents disagreed with.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
But I will tell, like, never mind. That's funny, but it's not.
Yeah,
completely
I keep praying for reconciliation there, but I don't know that it's.
Yeah. Well, and I think of people, like, in the LGBT community, if there's a group that has been disowned by family, like, simply for existing, like, and that's really hard. And so, not the same thing, but also similar in the sense of, like, without love, all of this is meaningless. So, we talk about, like, you know, a lot of times, oh, we should do things, right? But if you're not doing them in love, you really just shouldn't do it, because it's not worth it. Like, you're not helping. You might think you are. But it's not. It's not helpful to do things when you're just resenting. because all you're doing is poisoning yourself. Like, when you're doing something because you feel like you should be and it's the right thing to do and da-da-da-da-da, all you're doing is building up resentment that is eventually going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So, we have all of these. And I think this is really important because, like, Paul, I think he's speaking to us right now, too, in America, like, this, like, there is so many ways people want to say, this is how you love your neighbor. This is what you need to do. Show up to this protest. You know, yell at this person. Boycott this business. Be nice to these people. Or whatever have you. But, like, if we're not doing it out of love, there's no point. There is no point. If you just boycott Target because you're like, whatever, I'm going to boycott Target, but it's not about loving the people who work there or the people who no longer work there or different things, really doesn't matter. And I think this is really important because these are huge things, right? Like, who doesn't want a faith that can move mountains, right? That's, like, essentially having a superpower. But it's nothing. Like, I am nothing, right? It's, without love, it's just useless. And that's why, I mean, I think it's so important that the fact is that, like, nobody said the church in America today is loving. And I wouldn't describe the church in America today as loving. And so, like, that's a really, really big thing.
Widely accepted to be unloving.
Yes! Yes! And so, like, we got to come back to the basics. Yes, Kelly?
I had thought about this when you mentioned the question before, and I was all like, okay, well, the answers may have been different if it hadn't included in America.
That's true. That's true. It might have been.
If it was, like, what is Christianity supposed to include?
Well, yeah, but I didn't want to do what was supposed to.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like,
well, we all know the right answer. Like, you know, but there's a difference between the right answer and, like, what is actually happening. Because you can't deal with things if we don't address them. Go ahead and click. All right, so I want you to fill in your blanks with your name and or your pronouns, depending on, because it gets repetitive to keep saying Katie, 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 Katie.
Repetition is good for the brain.
Yeah. So I just want you to take a moment and just read that as if it's describing you.
Bless you.
Thank you. I do.
Okay, I am.
I'm Elmo. I'm in my heart. It's a blessing and a curse. Sorry, I got to Kelly keeps no records of wrongs. And I
couldn't anymore. You got receipts.
Mm-hmm. And I will pull them.
You have some files with the Dewey Decimal System.
I should try that. It would be much more organized.
Okay, are we done then? Because we're chatting.
Sorry.
I don't mind that you're chatting. Just has everyone had a chance to read it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what hits you?
Well, I think you know my answer.
Yeah, like the, I kept a record of wrongs. What else hits you?
Is not easily angered, I feel like. I'm not easily angered against a person. There's so much I'm angry about right now. And I, you know, when I think about what I am angry about, it's not something that I'm easily angry about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although there are a couple of people at work that get on my nerves, and I'm like, I know there is no reason. They are not at fault at all. They just push my buttons, and they're not even trying. They're not trying to be mean.
Yeah.
That's okay. You don't have to like everybody. You just have to love everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I shouldn't get angry about it when they're not even trying to be that.
Yeah, that I understand.
Mine is not boast, is not proud. No, I like being right.
Yeah, right?
it's fun.
I'm proud of it.
Yes. And things kind of fell apart fairly quickly. And, like, I wanted to scream off the rooftops, I told you so. Instead, I just screamed at Tracy and Winston, I told you so via text. Because, like, I had to get it out, but I knew that I couldn't say it, like, because, like, I was so, that was probably the hardest way to be loving in my life, was that transition. because I was treated like the enemy when I tried so hard to set them up for success. Like, and it was, and I knew that everyone was responding out of trauma, but it was just so hard. And Winston knows that I was not always loving, but mostly I tried to send all of that, like, via Winston and not to the world, because, like,
it was stressful.
It was a very stressful time. Yeah. Winston and Tracy both were very encouraging and helpful. I will never forget, speaking of, like, love, just, like, always protecting and stuff, like, Winston's response was, I am so sorry, if you need to come over and watch any Captain America movie, you can. And I just, like, it made me smile so much. I was like, I can't focus on a movie, but I love that response. Like, talk about love there. But yeah, right? It's so hard, especially when you've been treated poorly, to not be like, I told you so. And I feel like we're like this in America right now. There's so many people I want to scream, I told you so at. Like, and it's a wide range of people, like from people who didn't vote to people who did vote, or people who were like, oh, he's not going to do the things he says he's going to do. Like, I mean, you know, like, and it's just like, when someone tells you who they are, believe them, like, or shows you who they are. But like, you know, and so I think that's a good point. Like, it's really, really hard to be loving in those moments. And I would argue that you need someone that you can trust to say what you need to say so that you can love other people, right? Because you need that person. Because we all feel that, right? Because it doesn't say love is never angered. It just says it's not easily angered. So I think that is not proud, does not boast. That's really, really relevant to today. Because what I've said before is, like, we can't look at this as, like, red versus blue, Democrat versus Republican, you versus me, whatever. Like, our job right now, like, our job is to get everybody on our side. Like, it's an us. Right? And it's really, really hard to want to be us with someone who has been stupid. Like, or racist, or sexist, or... I use stupid as an overarching category. But you know what I mean. Because I really don't like incompetence, and I don't like stupidity. Like, I'm just like, come. And so, like, it's hard. But, like, that's what love is we have to be like, we don't even have to say you were wrong. Like, because, like, that's what I want to do. You were wrong, come anyway. But it's like, hey, you don't like this either? Great, come join us, right? Like, you're seeing that this was, and I'm not just talking about politics, but I think the church also needs this. Hey, you thought we shouldn't be loving, but we should? Like, you've realized that the error of your ways? Come join us. Sarah and then Winston.
I was just, my constant struggle, I remember the parable about the man coming into church. Dear God, thank you that I'm not like that person over there.
Yeah. Pharisee and the tax collector.
Uh-huh.
I lived that life for a while.
So while on one hand I'm like, yes, I feel very strongly that I'm following what God wants us to do, but at the same time, dear God, please don't let me turn into the, well, I'm the only true Christian of the two of us.
I guess I should preface this by saying I'm kind of a firm believer in F around and find out. So does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth.
Yeah.
Sometimes when things go poorly that I thought were going to go poorly, I maybe enjoy the pain that it caused more than I should.
I get it. But let's talk to you about, like, what do you think you would sell out, if anything? Because all I asked you was what stood out to you, and all of you went negative. All of you were like, I don't do that. But what is there anything you, like, are like, so one that I think that I'm fairly good at is always protects. That's really important to me. Like, I am a protective creature by nature, and, like, but that's what really will get me involved in things, and sometimes will get me in trouble. But, like, I'm working on the always trust and always hopes, because I don't want to be naive. Like, that's a fear of mine. I don't like to be naive, and then, like, God's like, nowhere in the Bible does it says, like, you know, it's believe the best in people, and I'm like, I don't want people to think I'm naive, and God's like, believe the best, you know, like, love people. But I would say that one comes the most easy, to, like, natural.
Well, just remember, even, like,
I trust XYZ person to always act wildly out of pocket. However, I believe XYZ person is truly doing their best.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, Kelly? Oh, other Kelly. Sorry, I thought you were done. Are you done?
So I'm going to say I try not to be self-seeking, but I can't give you 100% answer that I am not self-seeking, because sometimes we do things subconsciously. So I think that one is kind of like a neither here nor there. So obviously I've got to work on that. But I think I'm pretty patient. That's probably the one that I resonate the most with.
I get that.
My supervisor did tell me once that I had the patience of a saint. Patience of a saint with one of our patrons.
I do believe I am patient. I don't always feel patient, but I think.
I think like there are situations where I'm more patient than others. Like, I'm very patient with children. And then, like, I have no patience with adults, because I was like, I just dealt with 8-year-olds all day. Like, they figured it out. You need to figure it out. it is a teacher thing. So, like, I definitely could grow in patience. But, that I do think there's some places. There are patient people, and then people who are good at being patient in certain things. And I do think you're a patient person, Kelly. I would agree with that. So.
I find the aggregate really interesting, seeing your name, just. You know, it's the things that aren't true that really do jump out at us.
Mm-hmm.
Like just because the other is like, yeah, check, or I try, that type of thing. I like the protect, trust, hope, comfort, but the always aren't really.
Well, if it's not always, it doesn't count. Coincidence.
Just want to chime in for Jenna, who says she is not patient. I think she agrees with me on the F around and find out stuff, and that she is sometimes kind, depends on the person.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, also, I'm sitting here realizing that I've grown a lot in terms of the keeps no record of wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about that, how you grow in love. And as you grow in your faith,
I want to speak about real quick. So if you don't know, when Hannah first started coming to this church, she would mention, like, every other Sunday, I'm petty. Like, it would just come out of her mouth, like,
it's still petty.
Yeah, it didn't really matter what the topic was. Somehow Hannah would bring it back to pettiness. So to hear that, right? And, like, I remember one time I sent her a quote about pettiness that I was reading in a book that really stood out to me. It is interesting the way God works in the background, because, like, the quote made me laugh. I have also seen that, because I would say in the last 6 months, Hannah hasn't ever come to church and said, I'm petty. Now, whether or not Hannah still feels that way. There's definitely growth there. I would say I've grown a lot in some of these. Maybe I'm not where I want to be, but I've definitely grown. Yeah, go ahead, Kelly.
Something that I've just realized stuck out to me is, does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. As if the opposite of evil isn't goodness, it's truth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means, but I think I like it.
I agree with you.
Or maybe that, within the context of fuck around and find out.
You would be so glad.
Word.
Yeah, you were not the person that I thought would use the word.
but within that context,
this is the this is like number six is the city of Philadelphia. It's not the light and evil, but rejoices with the
truth.
but the idea of rejoicing the finding out, but not the trouble that comes with the finding out.
Okay, all
right. Yeah. There are definitely, like, consequences for our actions, but thank God we don't get what we deserve for them, right? Like, and there's mercy to be had aplenty. But there are times where, like, at the same time, like, there is enabling behavior, and you just, sometimes you have to be like, well, Like, I am a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, but sometimes the reason is you're an idiot. Like, and sometimes you have to live with that consequence. Like, you know, you can't
sometimes
save...
it's not persecution. Sometimes you're just a jerk.
Yeah, like, sometimes you just have to live with the consequences because that's how we grow, right? Like, we can't grow because otherwise we'd be very proud, right? Like, because I've never fallen. Like, my life is great. But okay, so click for me. So, to think about, where do you need to grow in love? And I know we already kind of talked about this, but I do want you to, whatever one that was like, this is what I need, I want you really to like think about this week. And what does that look like for you? What does that look like to grow in patience or kindness or not delighting in evil and rejoicing in the truth? Whatever one stuck out to you. I really want you to think about that because I am more and more convinced that what the world needs now is love. Yeah, sorry. I started saying that sentence and my brain was like, it can only go one way now. But people need love and real love. And like, love is bold, you know? Because we hit this thing where like, well, I don't want to step on their toes. Like, they're hurting. I don't want to interfere. And like, don't interfere by saying something stupid like, oh, everything happens for a reason and it's all going to be okay. But like, you can interfere with like, hey, I know you're stressed. Would it be helpful for you if I made you a meal? Like to a coworker or to people here, like whatever, like you can do those things. Like, instead of saying, what do you need? Because 95% of people who are stressed are like,
yeah, delegate.
Yeah. Like, they're like, what do you need? I was like, I don't know what I need. Like, I need all of these things done that I haven't done. And no, you can't help me with them because they're things that just, like, I have to do. Like,
practical
a lot of times.
Solution. Like, come over and watching Captain America.
Yes! Right? But, like, what do you... And sometimes it's like, hey, do you need a meal? Or would you like a meal? Because some people will never say yes to do they need because they just don't understand that needs are real. But, like, I was that person for a long time, so I can call those people out. Like, but, like, just offering that, you know? Or like, can I help you clean up? Like, I know that can be a big thing, and that's vulnerable there, because like, I don't want just anybody coming to help me clean up, because like, I'm sorry, like, I still got pride. So yeah, Kelly.
Okay. So real question here. What if it's something that you want to act upon is based on your love to always protect like others, but in retrospect it's because you've kept receipts on another person.
So let me make sure I'm understanding your question. So you want to protect person A because you have receipts about what person B has done. Is that what I'm hearing? Is that
there wasn't an action that occurred that I do not agree with, and it exposed other people, including myself, to a uncomfortable and dangerous situation or something that could have escalated into such.
So my gut reaction, and this, I'm just, because I'm a protective person, is protect first. Like, that's my gut reaction. That's what Jesus did. I think of, like, when he, like, they all were ready to storm the adulterous woman. Who knows what happened to the adulterous man? Like, you cannot commit adultery alone. Like, we don't know what happened to him, but his instinct was to protect, right? And so, like, my first instinct is always protection, and that is also just who I am as a person, but I do think, like, you can't love anybody if they're dead, when you say dangerous, or, you know what I mean? Like, you have to protect first. That's how I feel, too, when it comes to a lot, like, the church needs to do a better job, no matter what their theology, about protecting the LGBT community, and we should be on board all together that suicide for any group is wrong, and we should all be willing to stand up and say, we will protect you. Like, and the fact that the church can't do that tells me a lot about where the church is on love. And I use that one specifically because transgender specifically, are very likely to attempt suicide or be successful. I don't know if successful is the right word there, but, yeah, that got me off topic. But my instinct is protect first. Go ahead.
Jenna chimed in. My coworkers, some of them, mine's Katie, are annoying. Tell them in kindness, certain family members. I think that was in response to where you need to grow about. Destiny said her patience and kindness needs to improve. And then Jenna chimed back in. I think in response to Kelly, keep those receipts.
Now, I will say, there is a sense of, like, you don't have to be stupid. Like, you don't keep loving someone who just is like, you don't keep putting yourself in a position to be abused, right? And I think that's what gets taken. Like, if someone is abusing you, you are allowed to cut off that relationship. Like, you are not healthy for me and my family or, you know, whatever. You are allowed to cut them off. Because sometimes, right, that's what love requires of you. Love for yourself, love for the people you're close to, even love for that person. Because they can't grow while they're still there with you. Like, and so that can be hard too, because like love can look like that too. Sometimes protecting a person is refusing to enable them. All right. Go ahead and click for me. We're almost done.
We have somebody at work like that that I've said, like, he needs a ban to break his habit of the things that he's doing here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He needs a couple of months to a year of not being here to break himself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that he can be a better person.
Yeah. It's like, tough love is a thing. I just think that, unfortunately, the church, in my experience, has gone either really, like, tough love really hard, like, oh, we're not tolerating this sin, but that sin's okay. Like, you know, there's been those dichotomies. Selectively, yeah. But I think one of the big things is love never fails. And that's a really, I think, poignant, because at the end of the day, I know I don't like to be called naive, because my family's called me naive a lot. I'm the youngest, and it irritates the crap out of me. You know, but I will always be the young little sister, and like, I fundraise for a living, and you know, so they're like, oh, she's just always asking for a hand, you know, those kind of things. And I hate it, right? Like, but there's not a lot I can change that, but I can choose to love them anyway. Like, I can choose to say, well, I might be naive before believing this, but I'm going to choose love anyway. And that's a hard thing for me, because I don't want to be naive. Like, I don't want people to describe me in ways I don't want to be described, and that's more of a pride thing for me, so that's where I gotta work. But that reminder that love never fails, and sometimes it will feel naive. It will feel like, I shouldn't do this, right? This person doesn't need, you know, this person's taking advantage of me. And I think that that is real, but I think we're afraid of that happening more often than it is. And love drives out fear. Kelly and then Lily.
And I think that the church is hurting itself by being taken in by this with these same patterns about what sins they're willing to accept and what they aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, did everybody hear about Russell Brand?
No.
Okay. So Russell Brand, like, molested a bunch of women and then was like, I'm born again! And the church was like, yes, Russell Brand! We love you!
Look
at
this horrible actor did all these sins coming.
And
to
so
dangerous.
Now it's coming.
I definitely thought you were talking about the Russell and Mary Sierra, and I was like, not Sierra Russell!
No,
I'm sorry. The author.
Yeah.
The author? The,
no,
the actor. Yes.
Yeah.
And so now all of these women are coming out and being like, excuse me, what the heck, church? And they're like, but Christian, but
God forgives me for my sins.
But what?
God forgives you for your sins, but you still face earthly consequences.
Yeah, like what kind of, how is that going to bring people, if the only people that that's going to bring into the church
Are molesters. Yeah, like, I think there is something
like
about...
escape under the claw.
Being repentant means that you're willing to pay for your sins.
Exactly.
Like...
Yeah.
And I think that's a really big... And there is no way to fix that. When you've molested somebody, you cannot... You're not going to be able to make... You can't... God can. But, like, you can't heal that. But you have got to do whatever you need to do to at least... make amends. You have to be accountable. Luke?
So, kind of back to the feeling youth thing. It is a hard conversation, but there was at least one time where I felt very used by somebody and I actually had that conversation, and it changed the dynamic of, like, I feel like I'm being used. And if you feel like someone is abusing your kindness or abusing your goodwill,
having that conversation. Mm-hmm. It really is. Communication, like, I know it's like the hallmark of relationships, but it is so true. Like, so many things are solved by communicating. Like, someone's like, I just can't stand when they do this. I'm like, well, have you told them that? Mm-hmm. They're like, no, they should just know. And I was like, why? When did they get to be a psychic? All right. And one click. And then, so it ends with this. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So, I unashamedly love children, right? Like, I delight in their joy, I want to protect them, I want to see them grow, and I want good things for children, right? And I can't do that if I stay a child. Like, being a child, right, is having everyone focused on you, right? Really, like, if you think about it, like, that's the, children are not thinking about ever, how does this make the teacher feel? Like, that's not a thought that goes through their head. They're not thinking even often about how did this make my friend feel. They are thinking, how does this make me feel? Am I happy? Am I sad? Am I angry? Did you take something from me? Like, and that is the opposite of love. Now, I'm not saying children can't be loving because they can be the sweetest things. Don't miss me wrong. But, like, in our faith, like, one of the big things, like, pet peeve of mine is when I hear somebody say, like, I'm not being fed at that church. And it's like, the church's job is not to feed you. It is to provide you with a banquet. And if you're going to eat, you have to eat yourself. You are not a child. Like, now, if the church is not providing meat, that's a different story, right? But, like, nobody's feeding you. Like, you have to feed yourself. You are an adult. And, like, as a child, you get to, like, have everybody love you, right? Like, and that is our job. Children should be loved. Like, period, full stop. That is the job of children. And then as adults, like, right? And I put the ways of childhood behind me. I think what he's really saying here, because I've always found this verse a little odd, like, after all this love. But what he's really saying is, I'm now loving others. Like, I'm putting childhood ways behind me. I don't need everyone to love me. I need to love others. Like, I am being a man for Paul is the ability to love others. Which, like, if I asked on Facebook, what would you describe a man as? I feel like no one would say the ability to love others. But anyway, and I love this part, and now I shall know fully, even as I am fully known, because God knows us, and that's this reminder, to me, this is a callback, to some, oh my gosh, what, that's 23? Not 23, I am fearfully and wonderfully known, where is that,
oh, it's like 150 something.
Yeah, but you guys know which one I'm talking about, and it talks about being fully known, and, like, we get our love from Christ, like, that's, we, like, you know, the world is in too much pain for us to be looking for the world to give us love. We have got to get our love from Christ and God so that we can love others. Like, the world is hurting. And, like, people will love you to the best of their ability, but it will always be lacking. And so you have got to get your love. You have got to let yourself be fully known and to know that love. Because, like, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love, right? Like, when we say love, we mean a lot, right? We mean all of those things we just listed. And our responsibility is to know that we are loved and to walk in it. And through that love, love others.